everybody, and welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode number 428. The show where we talk about Android apps, Android phones, Android hardware, smart Android TVs, and whatever else happens to strike our fancy at the time. My name is Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox. I am your host this evening, along with your friends and mine, the door-to-door geek, Mr. Steve McLaughlin, and Eric, who's reminded me he wants to be called the manager again, Ardini. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Yep, Mark. I'm thinking we should call him the executive manager, or the manager of executives, maybe?
Maybe the CEO.
Ah, CEO.
Chief. Hail to the chief.
The executive to the manager.
Executive to the manager of the chief.
How about the executioner? That sounds really cool.
Ooh, that's better.
I am certified. I don't know if that helps.
I'm certifiable.
I have lots of certifications. Which one are we talking about?
Well, I'm a certified municipal clerk.
Oh.
In May, I'm going to be a part of the Athenian Leadership Fellowship. Something like that. I'm going to be an Athenian Leadership Fellow.
I have literally no idea what you're talking about. I will say I know I've actually been to Crownsville. Technically against my will, but since it's closed now, I guess it really doesn't mean anything to anybody.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Crownsville? Is that like where the kings and queens lived and kept their hats?
It's where the quote-unquote real-life Hannibal Lecter, Ed Gein, spent his last days.
Mm. Did you get certified while you're there?
Oh, I got certifiable, yes.
Nice.
But that was years ago. You know, things were different.
Did you have some fava beans and a nice Chianti while you were there?
I had a lot of questions. I remember that. they wanted to ask a whole lot of questions until I got really sleepy. Then I just took a nap.
Alrighty. What a weird show intro. I don't even know where to go from that. And either you guys, we've talked about hardware in the past. Any of you guys got any hardware, new hardware or anything exciting?
I got a USB Wi-Fi dongle the other day. I'm still waiting for my Western Digital Pi drive to show up. I don't have that yet.
Yeah, the 314 gigabyte drive for $31.48.
I got a new cover for my truck, a car cover for my truck.
Does it have a picture of an Android on it?
No.
And I don't see how
it's really okay, Eric, to just say no. It really is.
Oh, that's true. Good point. I got a USB-C cord in the mail today. That is exactly as long as this one I was trying to replace it with because it was too short.
Nice.
Yep.
Awesome. I'm still messing around with the Odroid C2. I did load Android on it. I was very impressed at how it ran, but I'm back on Diet Pi just because it runs so damn good as the desktop. The only other thing I have that could run Android, I got my Pi Top Indiegogo laptop. But half of the keys on the keyboard don't work, so I had to fill out a thing to get my keyboard replaced. But it technically works, and it's a little bit big, and you can put a Raspberry Pi in it and carry it around like a laptop, supposedly 10 hours of battery life.
Could you use a wireless keyboard with it? Would it work?
Yes, but it's ridiculously self-defeating if I do that.
I'm just wondering to get it, you know, moving. While you're waiting.
And it will literally compound my aggravation to the point of I'm just leaving it sit there, collecting dust until I get my replacement keyboard. And then I'm going to put a Odroid C2 inside of it. And it literally could be my portable Android/gaming rig, because you can play a fair amount of games on there. Or my desktop-like replacement OS for on the go.
So Roku announced their new Roku Stick. I don't remember if it was just announced or released, but it's one of those happened this week. It was the craziest thing. It was Roku Stick, now with a quad-core processor. No new features, just better processor. Why do you really need that for something that just streams anyway? It's not like it does any number crunching.
Well, the old Roku Stick was uncommonly slow interface, and I believe because of the processor was the... I don't want to say excuse reason, but it was the reason why they said you could not stream in the highest of quality.
4K.
You could stream in good quality. But the interface was very methodically slow compared to the normal Roku experience. So bumping that up, I think, is good.
So I have the original Roku One. That's all I have. And I do miss the Netflix interface, for example, was the old style interface. Doesn't support profiles. But for the most part, it just works. And I think where Roku and a lot of these other companies, handset manufacturers, not quite so much, but these appliance-based things, they sell you exactly one. You know, people aren't upgrading every few years because there's no reason to. And you can throw another core at it, but it doesn't really seem to matter. You know, with phones, at least they get worn out. You break them, they show something. So people buy a new phone every few years. But like an Apple TV, those things haven't been updated in years, and there's no reason for it. And I think Roku is just kind of running into that situation. Amazon with their Fire Stick too. They sell everybody in the country exactly one, and then what?
Well, Amazon added a microphone to their remote.
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, do you really buy a whole new device for that one thing? I mean, I don't think most people will. The only reason I could see someone buying a new device is literally they got a new TV in a new room of their house. Two, buy it as a gift for a family member, friend, brother, sister. You'll really enjoy this. Here you go. Or you literally like got a bonus and you don't know what to do with your money, you know?
It's funny. I've got a couple of Pis, a couple of Android boxes. Each of them costs me more than a Roku and can do less than a Roku. But I do it because it's for the hobby aspect of it. So I've got Pis laying all over the place and Android boxes all over the place, just because I buy them periodically at you know, $30 and $40. They're relatively disposable. But I'm definitely not the regular person. Do you think it's the guys like us that are actually keeping the whole industry afloat? The one percenters who buy several of them?
To a large degree, I would say yes.
Yeah, for now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm literally waiting to find a good deal on a TV that I can put over there, just so when I'm done podcasting and I'm waiting for something to transcode or whatever, I can just turn over there and look at the TV. And I've been literally back and forth 50 times with what I'm going to connect to the TV. Because like you said, the Roku experience is so streamlined, almost nothing can compete with how simple it works. But is that what I want to do, or do I want to get nerdy and try to connect something more fancy? I don't know.
I gave away my Roku to my niece because I got the Chromecast, and I ran out of TVs. You know, I've only got three TVs, and I got an Xbox hooked to one of them, and Amazon Fire Stick hooked to one of them, and then I had the Roku. And when I got the Chromecast, I'm like, well, I think I'll get rid of the oldest piece of machinery here. And I've never looked back. I mean, I got the same Roku you had. I found it really slow. I never was really patient enough with it. I didn't like that, the slowness of it.
I guess it's slow, but I mean, how fast does it need to be to scroll through a list of movies? It's fine. I mean, it's not like it takes a minute to move to the next frame. It's a second and a half at the most.
Yeah, I don't know. I just never... I think maybe the Amazon Stick kind of spoiled me. That thing flies through some menus and stuff nice and quickly. I really like the Amazon Stick. And I'm not missing anything that I can remember. It's been over a year and a half, maybe 2 years since I got rid of my Roku. So I don't know exactly.
Roku is really the only one that has all the services. It's got you know, Plex, it's got Amazon, it's got YouTube, it's got all those other, and as far as I know, they're the only ones. They've paid the licensing fees, I guess, because even the Amazon Stick doesn't have some of those things to it, and there's no real performance boost to it, and no real price difference. It amazes me that how they're selling any at all. Why isn't the Roku just the dominant thing, hands down?
I don't know.
Publicity? I don't know.
I like the Stick better than I liked the Roku. And I had the Roku for a long time.
Yeah, but you're comparing like Gen 3 to Gen 1 there. So you can't really compare the platforms.
Right. Yeah. I'll
say the Roku can do everything. With that said, the Roku does virtually nothing that I want to do most of the time easily. Because most of the time what I want to do is literally just YouTube videos or something to that effect. I don't want to watch Hulu. I don't want to watch Amazon videos. I don't know about you, but when I look at Amazon videos, I don't really see a whole lot to watch except for Star Trek The Next Generation. Hulu, I think I'd rather put a hole in my foot than watch that.
Netflix. The kids use Amazon all the, or excuse me, YouTube all the time on our Netflix. It's their primary, or Roku. It's their primary device. So it works well.
I know in the Roku that we have upstairs, the YouTube interface I see is very poor compared to, well, it's just because I'm now suckered into the desktop experience of clicking the three dots, clicking, ignore this video, and then tell me why I've already seen it. Take it out of my recommendations.
Yeah, I think maybe the reason that we see a different experience there is we all, particularly in the kids, they have Android tablets and they're just casting to it. So they'll find what they want on their tablets and then cast to it. So we're not searching with the stick.
Yeah. So you're using, I guess, like, that's a Chromecast.
Right. For YouTube. Yes.
That's,
yeah. Now that I could.
Yeah. Definitely.
Wow. I really took us down a tangent there.
Well, casting wasn't even a thing on a Roku the last time I used a Roku. So that may add a lot to it.
Well, the Roku honestly. One is a cast device.
But it wasn't when I got rid of it. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't have enough TVs for one, but I wouldn't mind, you know, checking it out. One thing I don't have, so.
It struck me as funny that you said, I only have three TVs. What a 1%er you are. You are what Bernie Sanders complains about. I only have three TVs.
Well, I compare myself to people around me. They have more than three.
I have two.
Do you? Okay. So I am bad. I am a 1%er.
I think you have three as well. Yeah. Living room, bedroom, and one in my kid's bedroom.
I have, for a number of reasons, I have refused to put a TV in my kids' room, not for content reasons, because they have the internet, and there's way worse stuff there, but just because you pay out the nose for this portal that, you know, doesn't really serve any purpose. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Whether it's cable or satellite or anything, you end up paying minimum $10 a month, in my experience, to get the digital signal to another wall just because.
Yeah, and it's second-rate content for what the kid wants.
TV is so yesterday.
I don't have one in my living room though. I don't have a TV there. I've got one in the kitchen though.
That's fine.
Kitchen, bedroom, and basement.
Well, how about that Star Wars trailer today? Sorry, that's another tangent.
I didn't watch it yet, but it sounds like it's. I can watch it real quick right now if you want. Let's see.
I did watch the Honest trailer. That was funny.
The Honest trailer of the new one?
Of Star Trek 7. Star Wars 7. I'm going to get... Somebody's now writing an angry email at this very moment.
You know it. You know it. I'll say the new Star Wars movie. I'm excited and amped for it because, like, what's his name? Is in it? I can't remember the guy's name. Extremely unattractive guy. One eye a little bit off. Oh, man. And the reason I like him is... He doesn't look perfect. I like him because I don't look perfect either. So I feel like we have a connection he doesn't even know about. But it's before episode 4, after episode 3. There's no Jedi because they're all dead, except for, of course, Obi-Wan and Yoda. So there's going to be no Jedis in the movie. So, you know, we'll have to wait and just watch it and experience the drama of non-Force-powered people. Sounds boring.
So how soon is that coming out?
Oh, not till I think December. Months, at least. Months away. I know that.
And that's not episode 8, then?
No. No, it's Rogue whatever. Rogue something. Rogue Squadron. Rogue Theory. Rogue Pillar. Rogue Destiny. Rogue
Movie.
Attack. Rogue Envoy. Rogue Investigation. Something.
So it's like Star Wars 6.5.
No, 3.4.
Oh, okay.
Or 3.5. 3.5.
Star Wars Rogue Warrior?
Well, if it's...
Two?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. I don't want to go down too far on the Star Wars tangent, because that could become a whole episode.
Or a whole series of episodes.
So I'll start with an email from Philip Keemer, who says, "Hello, fellow Android addicts. Just sharing an app that I found via the new XDA Labs app. The XDA Lab is basically a portal. They get apps that are developed by the XDA community, as well as a portal to the XDA blogs and forums. The drawing card is that there are a lot of apps that will not make it to the Play Store, as they will not sit right with the terms and conditions of the Play Store. This is particularly the case for the exposed modules that alter the behavior of some other apps in the store. Anyhow, one gem I found is Tugga Browser, which is a lot quicker than Chrome, but I guess that is not hard to do, and it's also based on the open source Chromium and optimized for ARM-based phones. So it has all the advantages of the Chrome browser, but a lot quicker. Sorry, no link other than via the XDA Labs app. It also has night mode that renders most pages as white text on black background, which is a reading preference for me. Using this in conjunction with Chromer has made my browsing a lot better on the phone, and I can use the rendering engine from Tugga Browser. Thanks for the great podcast, feeding my addiction. I think he meant addiction. Battery 100%. Cheers, Phil.
So, I'm sorry, was that Tugga Power Browser?
Tugga Browser is what he has. Okay. T-U-G-A Browser.
I'm going to believe that the Tugga Power ROM was the original thing, and then the browser they pulled it off of that ROM, and they have it as a separate app. That's what I'm going to believe.
He then follows up with it. He says, just a quick update. Apparently, Tugga Browser is not the only fork of Chromium on the XDA Labs app. There are other ones, too, so it's worth trying others just to see what suits you. My ROM is CAF optimized, so Tugga works really well, but otherwise forks don't have the CAF optimization, so they may be better for other devices / ROMs. I don't know what that means. CAF? Any idea?
Mm-mm.
Flora, Alevi? I don't know. I put a link in the chat, xda-developers.com/xda-labs. It's an APK file. You have to download and install, and what I don't understand is why they don't have the whole catalog public facing on the public internet, and then instead of having a download or install link, you have a link to get the Labs APK installed on your Android device. This to me seems like a very, very poor job of marketing, advertising, or to me, for XDA. And I'll say, to me, this, I'm sure there's great apps in this app, and I'm sure great apps are going to come out of this Labs. XDA, there's something that always rubbed me just a little bit of the wrong way, something a little bit too arrogant and cocky about XDA themselves. So I'm always a little bit wary of them. With that said, I have to install this app, and I have to check out the apps, because my guess is there's going to be some really cool ones here. Hopefully they grow up and then come to the Play Store later in their existence.
Now the CAF browser was, CAF Chromium was in the Play Store for a short time, and now it's not. And CAF stands for Code Aurora Forum, which is maintained by the Linux Foundation, and where Qualcomm releases the reference sources for their various platforms. 5 months ago, it was in the Play Store, and for whatever reason, it's not currently.
Back to your comments before Eric's excellent Google food there, Dore. I think that the XDA forums largely don't want things to be super easy to find, because a lot of their stuff can blow up your phone. And so they kind of make you want to search for it, because then you're at least taking responsibility for it. Having the XDA app is really, it's kind of surprising to me that they have an app that pulls things off of their forum, because anytime I've been there, which is often, there's all kinds of disclaimers. Use at your own risk. If it makes your hair fall out, it's not our fault. And if you just put all that stuff just public facing, here's a directory, then you'd have, your grandma trying to do it, and bad things could ensue.
Yeah, I mean, I got no problem right now putting money on the line, $100. 99% of these apps in this market are going to be completely benign. They just want to keep them out of, my logic is, because we all know the beta experience in the Google Play Store sucks for everybody, including developers. I will say this is probably a pristine beta environment, because you only have the higher educated people. You can literally learn a lot from your users from this app environment ecosystem. But it's also difficult to join. You literally have to pass the initiation rites and go paintball old man McGuckin's house in order to be with the in crowd with XDA. So
So I guess we'll call that app the XDA app. That's both an email and an app. Eric, have you got an app to start us off with tonight?
I'm following right along with that, because a couple weeks ago someone else had mentioned another app that was in the XDA. And I downloaded this one. It's called Tap Out. And I don't have a link to help you out with. I was hoping that email would come back up. But
I've got it. I was just about to read it.
Oh, okay. You want to read that one?
Sure.
This kind of goes along with that previous one.
Here we go. From Milos. I'm going with that. Hi, guys. Recently, my small app has managed to reach 1,000 downloads without any marketing apart from good old word of mouth. I posted this achievement on Reddit, quite happy with the fact that a lone developer like myself can reach 1,000 different people from all over the world with basically zero budget. The response there was amazing, and it seems people in both r/Android and r/Android gaming subs really liked the app. One of those folks told me to contact you guys in order to get my app on your show. In reality, I'm not quite one of those people who would do such a thing, but after a brief conversation with a couple of other Reddit users, I was convinced that I should share my app with you guys, especially since your show supports a lot of indie developers. Well, here goes nothing. This is the link to the app, and I just put it in the show notes, and it'll be in the chat room, and it'll be in the show notes. I hope you guys like it, and I hope you have fun with it, regardless of whether or not you present it on your show. Thanks a ton. Cheers from Sweden.
Okay, so Tap Out, it is a fun game. Basically, you've got a grid of colored dots, and at the top it has one colored dot, and you just all you do is you tap the color that's at the top in a certain amount of time. Don't tap the other colors, only tap the one. Like right now, there's a blue at the top. You need to tap all the blue ones, and then the screen clears, and now you need to tap all the red ones.
Okay, well, first off, there is no video in the Google Play Store, which means it must be a fantastic game.
Oh, this one was in the Play Store? Oh, I'm sorry.
It is?
Yeah.
I was thinking it wasn't.
It's got 1,000 to 5,000 installs, updated May 2015, so it's been there a while. $99 per item in-app purchases, so you can purchase something.
Oh, okay. You know, this one's got a totally different logo or icon than what I have.
It's just a circle.
That's why I didn't. Yeah. The one I have is a bunch of circles. So it's a screen. Oh, that's weird. Okay, no, that definitely is the same app though. Okay, I just didn't recognize it.
Well, and in the store you can see by paying, I believe it is British pounds. It looks like 120 will remove the ads. So my guess is that's what you're going to pay for with the in-app purchase is just 99 cents to get rid of the ads, which I'm very, very okay with doing that.
I guess we've got that category of standing in line games. This would be a good one for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's to me a very good looking one handed game.
Kudos on not putting a video in.
Yes, because it just draws the attention. Yeah, I will say we are, I think, one of those shows. We have no biases. We'll bring anything. Why not? Can't hurt. And whoever told you in Reddit to bring it to the show, I want to thank that person, that mysterious person, whoever that person is. I want to thank them very much because this is the kind of stuff I'd much rather get contacted by than people sending me form emails about exciting new epic adventures. because I get a couple of them a week and they're all garbage.
I notice your blog doesn't have any CEO optimization or SEO optimization. I can help you get to the first page rank in Google. That's what I get a lot of.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Them too, yes.
All right, Dor, what's your first app of the evening?
Okay, let me just do a quick 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, I'm not going to bring a game as my first one. That's my goal, to first get other apps out of the way. A lot of people were the word I'm going to use is besmirched. A lot of people got besmirched by Pushbullet changing their model midstream, removing features from the free version, switching it over to the paid version. So I've been asked by more than a couple people to try to find an alternate for Pushbullet. This mixes a couple different things together that I think is really nice, really cool. You never have to create an account, number one, if you want to, or you can create an account. It's a little bit easier to keep track of things when you do create an account. I will not vouch any level of security on this app, but I will say don't share extremely sensitive things through this app, just like you should not be pushing your social security number through Pushbullet, just saying. It's very easy to send or receive files or links, text, audio, video, from either device to device or from person to person. When I share something, I can share it out with a 6-digit code and it will exist in that share for 24 hours. So if I want to send something to Mark without having to upload it to Google Drive or Dropbox or send it via email or something else, I can come into here, just click it, hit send Mark that code through a web interface, iOS or Android. he can go and retrieve the file, pull it down anytime that 24 hour. And of course, if you want, you can use a QR code.
What's the name of this app?
It's called Send Anywhere File Transfer by EST Mob Inc. E for everyone, completely free. 61,000 reviews, between 1 million and 5 million installs. So this is not some early bird. The current version is 6.2.26. So this thing has definitely been around a while.
Hey, so the other person has to have this installed to get your file?
No.
No.
No, you can do it from a web browser if you want. So you can do it as a one-off to a desktop web browser or a mobile web browser. If you have the app, it's just easier to keep track of your history.
Yeah, could be very handy.
Yeah, and to be honest, I was sharing files back and forth from my computer to my phone to computer, sending bits of text back and forth, phone numbers and stuff, and it just works really easy, near instantaneous from what I could tell. Just works nice.
Anything that ends with just works is a good thing, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think there's a reason why it has 63,000 reviews, and of that, 50,000 plus is 5 stars.
Cool. So 1 million to 5 million installs. So it's been around a while.
Yeah, and this is the first I heard of it.
Okay, Eric, since you sort of had your thunder stolen from the last email I read, why don't you go ahead and go next?
Okay, this one is a Timely app, just because it's an update today to an app. And the comments, I don't know what happened. I don't know. This app came out. It's Samsung Push Service. I'm not recommending anybody install it. But for whatever reason, the comments section on this app blew up today. And if anybody wants to check it out, just go to it's in the Google Play Store. I actually installed it just so I wouldn't forget. I will uninstall it as soon as the show's over. But it's Samsung Push Service. And read the comments on this app. 5-star reviews, 265,178 now. And people are finding just unbelievable things that this app is doing for them. It's changing people's lives from what I'm reading in here.
Best app ever. This is clearly the best app ever. After installing this app, I saved 3 dogs, 2 kittens, 4 hamsters from a burning house while my clothes were on fire. Immediately after that, the most beautiful woman in the entire world, who was outside watching me save the cats and dogs and hamsters from the burning house, immediately brought me to her house, made love to me for hours on end, and agreed to marry me. So yes, this app is definitely a must-have lifesaver.
Life can be so much easier. This app should be everywhere, in supermarkets to help you with the trolley, in parks for the swings and roundabouts, and definitely in hospitals for expecting mothers. Even the mission to Mars would be easier with an extra push. Get this app in your life. So tons and tons and tons of reviews today on this app, and I just had to bring it to the show because I love it when something like this happens.
They're not all positive, though. David Fisher says, can't get it to work. I don't understand why this doesn't work for me. I put the phone next to a door and nothing. Tried to call an elevator, but none of the buttons lit up. I had to push them manually. I've read other reviews from people saying it works the first time for them every time. Why can't I get it to work? I can't find any guides to this at all, so I don't know if there's something else that needs to be enabled. Maybe there's something else that needs to be pushed.
Yeah, well, you can't win them all, but there's a lot of people loving this app today.
I love it when that happens on Amazon.
Yeah, there's some good ones there, too.
First time I've seen it in the Android store, though.
Or when somebody asks for Photoshop help with a picture. That's always a good one, too.
Awesome, good stuff. Let me see if I've got another email for us to read. How about Todd Evans, who writes about an app called DeskRepix. Hi, guys. I recently came across an app called DeskRepix. It allows you to annotate pictures and share them with others that have the app installed. The text below was generated by the app when I chose to send the picture. I created an example image. Of course, one of you fine gentlemen would have to install the app for this to recur. It says this message was sent by the DeskRepix app. And then it goes on to say, initially, I was unsure how this app could be useful for a casual user. As I experimented, it became more interesting. I found it could be useful when sharing pictures of homes in our search for a new house. I could note specific aspects of the interior or exterior or interior that caught my eye. I could also share with my brother a picture of a cabinet I built and note the particularly tricky miter joint location. I could even include a decent description of the cabinet in the text option that doesn't cover the entire picture in the text. I hope that some listeners may find this app useful, but the more I use it, the more useful I find it being. Keep up the great shows.
How's that spelled, Mark?
DESCRIPIX. I'll paste the link in the chat room for you.
And I installed it and checked out his photo that he had marked up for us. And I can't off the top of my head think of a use for it, but for pointing out like details in a picture of something small, like you're trying to explain to Door what's broke on this thing I got in front of me, that it could really help for something like that.
So I just want to take us on a brief aside. He mentioned buying a house. I am in the process of trying to purchase a house. And I did what I believe any reasonable geek would do. I created a spreadsheet for weighing the relative virtues of a house. So we have each of the various metrics, garage, fenced yard, the school rating, does it have a basement? Is it a finished basement or an unfinished basement? Is it a private pool or access to a public pool? All these things, and then they're weighted. So if it's got a pool, that's worth 5 points. If it's got, 1 point for every bathroom, 2 points for every bedroom, if it's a large. And so this seemed to me to be the most natural thing to do. So
20 points for fiber to the home?
Well, that's on the list, yeah. Okay. So I have 27 different metrics, each one assigned a value point based on how important we think they all are. And I add all those up, and I call that the attractiveness score. And then I divide the cost of the house by the attractiveness score, and I call that the cost per value. So how much are we paying for each one of those points? And it just seemed to me to be the perfectly reasonable thing to do. And I showed it to somebody at work today, and her response was, "You're insane." And so I just thought I'd bring it here. What do you think?
Mark, I laugh because I know you. I've listened to you for so long. This is like the sixth or seventh time I've heard you say, "So I made a spreadsheet. And then you go through the metrics that are involved, the calculations that are involved, and the weighting scale as well. So I knew exactly where you were going. I applaud your effort, is the first thing I got to say. I really do applaud your effort. You're lazy. Sorry, that was me. I'm lazy. What I do is I just install the app. Now it's a Home Snap is the one I used, and it seems to be the best right now, where I just walk up to a house, I point it to a house, I look at the house, I look at what it says about the house, and then I immediately just pure feeling judgment call. I'm never going to look at this house again, or maybe I should send this to the wife. And that's my spreadsheet. It's in my head. The values are purely judgmental. And there's no actual algorithm that goes into figuring anything out. You have some reasonable level of expectation of when you make your decision, you're going to be very assured in your choices. Or you're going to spend the next 20 years of your life telling your wife, "I know we should have gotten that house down." I know we should have gotten that house. It was so much better. It had 10 more points.
Well, the way I'm looking at it is it's not the decision maker. We don't wait, "Well, this one scored a 497. It's the highest one. We've got to buy that one." But it drives us in the right direction, because these are things that we've said that we feel are important. But it's easy to get bamboozled when you walk up to a house and, "Oh, the potted plants are nice. Oh, and there's a porch swing on it that's really pleasant. And look at that neighborhood. Oh, there's a fire hydrant right there. That's good." And so you get emotional and you go back and you think, "This is the best house ever. I'm ready to sign a contract." You run the numbers on it, and it's like the 17th ranked out of 20 that you've done. And so it's just an idea there of do we really think what we say we think? And so the reason I bring it up was he mentioned the home bank thing. But it just seemed to me like it was the perfectly normal thing to do. I'm finding that apparently it's not so normal after all.
Well, no. I think if more people had the wherewithal and the gumption, dare I say, they would do something like this. But most people just don't have it in them. They don't have the ability to just stick with it and follow it out. Because there's no doubt in my mind, what you're doing is setting a like judgment call. It's another just thing to look at to rate,
right,
which is good because this is a very important decision, Mark. And with the more important of a decision, the more you want to be have another level of confidence that you can put on it.
I first started this 20-something years ago when I bought my first car that didn't require a tow truck. And so when I'm looking at, you know, real cars, there's all these features, right? There's, do I want a standard or an automatic? Do I want the, back in the late 90s, speed sensitive stereo was the big thing. The faster you go, the louder it gets. And I thought, well, we're just losing track of all these. How are you going to compare, you know, a Chevy sedan and a GMC Jeep, or a Bronco and all these things? How are you going to compare? They're so different. So naturally, a spreadsheet was the way to go. And you put all these things down and you rank them. This is important to me, and it's, you know, easy to filter. Show me everything that doesn't, you know, delete everything that doesn't have leather seats. All right, gone. So it just seemed the most rational thing for me to do, and I've been doing that for 20 years now. And admittedly, I'm kind of obsessed with spreadsheets in general, but it's pure math. You can't go wrong with math.
I'm calling you out. You might have only been actively doing this for 20 years, but I know in your head, you've been doing this your entire life because you're the guy that created a database.
That's true.
Because you needed a database.
That's true.
You didn't use a pre-existing database. You made a database.
You're making me seem a little more of a prodigy than I was. This was eighth grade computer science. I didn't know there was such a thing as a database. And so I was given a project. The middle school principal came to me and said, I have this list of students here. I have this computer here. I shouldn't have to use paper anymore. How do I get this list of students in the computer? I didn't know that I could just type stuff into a database. So yes, I wrote a database in GW Basic using 64K of RAM and a 5 1/4 inch floppy disk.
Okay. I've withheld all comment to this point. And first thing I got to say is, Mark, bless your heart. Okay, so I turn and run from every spreadsheet that I come across in the wild. I would never think of that as being a sane way to do it. Just to give you an example, I looked at a number of houses before I bought the one I'm in now, and my realtor was almost in tears. Because he was so scared of the large animal that ran across the front steps as he was coming up to unlock the door for us in this house. He just got scared really badly by it. He thought it was going to eat him. And yet, after I saw this house, then I went back and did a sheet, a regular sheet, notebook paper, of pros and cons of
paper? Why. What the heck? That's insane.
No scoring, no prerequisites. These are post-requisites. After I've seen it, then I just wrote out the pros and cons of the house. And there were some cons that stuck, you know, and I'm slowly fixing them, but this house has turned out great. It's been a good one. And I as far as cars go, you know, I just buy as many as possible and then I just drive the ones I like and get rid of the ones I don't.
Okay, two things. This again proves last week when I said three completely different people. We are not going to be yes men about other stuff. But two, to be is very frank and very honest and very straightforward with you guys, no BS. I would love to do that spreadsheet for stuff, Mark. But I know, and I know me, and I know my wife, and I know I do it, boom, 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 the numbers. And the very first time I say, well, yes, but honey, this one scored a 3.2 and the other one only got a 2. She would then say, you have no idea what you're talking about, and just move on and make the decision without me. So it would all be for nothing because I don't have enough, oh man, piss and vinegar to sit there and argue about this kind of thing. And I'll just say, okay.
Was your wife and children around when you developed the spreadsheet so that they have input into the variables?
The children, no. They get no input. They go where we go. But the wife, absolutely.
Okay. And she's on board with your spreadsheets.
Absolutely.
And well, that's good. That's good. Because
she's seen the value of them over the last 20 years we've been together.
And then I'm going to ask you to ask her, is she quote unquote on board with them or is she on board with them?
She tolerates them.
She tolerates them. Okay. Yeah.
Well, hey, then if I'm going to guess in your head, you made a spreadsheet when you met your wife to rate what's the likelihood that we're going to be together for a long time, and she will put up with my then only mental spreadsheets being turned into physical digital media.
It's a very simple checklist. Girls who will date me, girls who won't. She was the one, so it was problem solved.
Okay, so how's the equation working out for you on the spreadsheet that tells you your podcast success in life? Was joining the AAA podcast, I know on the spreadsheet it looked good in the numbers. Is it really panning out, though? I mean, is it getting as high a value number as you thought it might have for you?
Well, sometimes you need more longitudinal data than just that. I don't know yet.
More research is needed.
As the Magic 8-Ball would say, outlook cloudy, try again later.
My spreadsheet, I was just looking at it, and it's just like number signs and exclamation points. My cell is too small, like, once again.
Okay. Apparently, I'm an insane man, so I accept that, and we'll move on.
No, you're just more sane. I don't have the
I'm too spontaneous, maybe just too dumb to for one, I'm too dumb to make a spreadsheet. I'll give you that. And then two, to trust numbers that much. There's only one number I trust.
No, but it's not, like I said, it's not about making the decision. It's about helping you inform. Right. These are the things that you've already said are important. So it helps you back up what the things that you said are important.
And one of the...
Yeah, see, go ahead. I just hop in a car, put my hands on the wheel and go, move the wheel a little bit, move my butt a little bit the opposite way when I do that, and think, this car feels like crap. Or, man, I really like this car. And that's the end of my decision. And then I just turn to the guy and say, can I afford this? And if he said yes, then we're going to move forward.
Cars, I have a testing scenario. I've got an exact test that I do for every car, and there's no sliding through these cracks, usually. 99% of the times it works every time that I get a good car by using these variables.
Geez. So what you're saying, Dor, is that you don't make a spreadsheet before you go on vacation with the different dining options and attractions and various outings? You don't do that?
No, because I don't have a say in them.
So you do that for vacations?
When I was young, when I was young, my mother said, pick your battles, which tells me pick very few of them for your highest chance of success.
See, when we're on vacation and we've been out at the beach and it's 4:30, it's not quite, dinner time, but it's really not lunchtime either. But we're hungry because we've been at the beach all day and we don't really know where we are and what's going on. I just whip out my phone, pull up Google Sheets and dial in the early dinner thing. I look at how we're dressed. Well, this is definitely casual dining. So I click the filter for casual dining and I get about 6 options. And then I filter those based on the geographic area of where we are. And I can say within 10 minutes, we can go to these 3 places. And, it just makes perfect sense.
Well, the one thing that would have to be on my spreadsheet for that is
what is genius.
The loudness of the place, because I'd have to immediately evaluate my children. How antsy are they? Because if they're really uppity, we're going to have to go to a place that's really loud so they don't seem loud. Because I love my kids, but,
I should try it, Mark. I should. That scenario you just gave was pretty good, but that's a lot of work to get all those restaurants in there ahead of time.
Yeah, but that's part of the fun of the vacation is the planning.
Really?
No, just me? Okay.
Is it okay? No, now, to be honest, I'm taking our first family vacation this year, and my kids are both in high school, so that gives you some idea of where I'm coming from, which is weird. But so the only thing I've got planned so far is two to three days of driving. I plan on driving to get there. I do have planned where I'm staying when I get there, but other than that, nothing.
My theory is that the more planning you do ahead of time, the more spontaneous you can be at the time. So you can say, what do you feel like doing? Well, how about this? Well, I've got research for that. We're not standing around going, well, let's look up what's restaurants are around. Well, I don't really feel like seafood. So you're wasting time. You're burning time. And the more planning you do ahead of time, the more you can maximize your spontaneity. You have options and they're ready to go. So You know, I like to have everything I know, you know, when I'm driving, particularly if it's a route I've done before, I know roughly when I'm going to need gas. I know what's around there. So it's not that I plan my stops at exactly 6:15 and 37 seconds. We'll stop here and it'll take 27 minutes to get gas. But it's like, all right, well, I know we're going to need gas here. So here's some fun things to do around this area for a nice little break. So you get to be spontaneous because you planned ahead.
That's a good pro tip, because I can see myself, after you just said that, I can see us spending 45 minutes a day trying to figure out where we're going to go eat, you know, looking up on a phone or a tablet.
Well, see, my ideal, and I really hate using that word, ideal vacation is like a 2-week trip booked down Orlando, Disney World, on site in the park, back and forth, so you don't have to worry about driving for 2 weeks. All the food paid for, all the restaurant stuff paid for, and me home for the 2 weeks while the family goes down there.
There you go.
Well, it's just because to me, a vacation is the most painful time of the year, because it's the one time of year everywhere I look, I'm seeing all of my money just being thrown about, spewn about with complete reckless abandon, just money being thrown and thrown. It's like throwing it at people's faces and throwing it at their feet and throwing it in their pockets and throwing it in their cars and throwing it in their houses and throwing it in their restaurants. And I'm just sitting there just feeling the anxiety, because now I'm thinking, how long is it going to take me to work out of this debt? And it's, I just can't take it.
Okay, since we've totally gone down this road, I'm just going to break it entirely and say I came up with a theory about 15 years ago that I call the Fairconomics principle. And it's the economics of a state fair. So you go into a state fair and there's no money. It's all tickets. And you buy tickets at three for a dollar or something like that. And you go to this booth and a corn dog and a lemonade is 37 tickets. But you've forgotten that 37 tickets was $16.50. You don't remember anymore. And you go to this booth over here where it's 49 tickets. And then you get this great, awesome deal where at this place over here, the corn dog and the lemonade is only 26 tickets. But that's still $19 or something like that but you forget it. It's fair economics. It's an entirely new economics. And it's a brilliant scam, because you buy your tickets when you walk in the door and they're completely worthless. How many people have not left the fair with at least one ticket in their pocket? That's free money.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So vacations have a very similar economic structure, because you're out someplace else, and it's just, you know, we're going out to dinner for my family of five. That costs $300. Ah, fair economics. You know, you just have to accept that that's the cost of going on vacation.
Well, and I'm a guy, when I leave the fair, Mark, I don't leave with tickets. I stop and I turn to a random family and say, here's some tickets.
Right. Yes.
I try my best to pay it forward.
But you still didn't use it.
No, I can't. It's impossible.
This might not be a fun vacation that I just planned. Maybe there's just a reason why I've never been on a vacation, because I am not going to go into debt. I don't even own a credit card to even try to go into debt. So
finite. You are not living the American dream.
Well, yeah, maybe not, but I'm not willing to. I mean, I've been there. Don't get me wrong. At one point in my life, I had a lot of credit card debt, and I've fought my way out of it, and I'll never go back. But I'm saving, you know, so I'm saving for this trip, you know, and I've got a couple bills that I'm way ahead on that I won't pay that month, you know.
Eric, that's the right way to do it. And congratulations, because I look at you with envy, sir.
And that's where planning is important, because you're going there with, make up a number, $5,000. You got to make sure that you can do everything you need to do for $5,000.
Yeah, no, you know? It's not. You know how much I that's can not do the for 5, that's not the right number, but
I just made up a number. Like I said, whatever. Yeah.
But I am going close to Disney World, but we're not going to Disney World. I'm going actually to Daytona, which I don't know. Seems like a good place to go. It's America's beach.
Isn't that kind of like going to the strip club but staying in the bathroom the whole time?
I don't know.
Well, it is.
Is just it? Let you know. Well, I polled the audience here, and I asked them. I go, while we're there, we're 40 minutes away. Does anybody want to go to Disneyland or World, whatever's there? And they said no. And I could go to Disney Avenue, which I heard is free, but pretty cool.
Main Street.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Free to go.
Crazy. It's free to go.
Yeah.
everything there is crazy expensive.
Ergonomics.
Yeah, and I don't know that we'll even... I think there's enough stuff in Daytona Beach that I would not even, you know, need to leave that town or that area the whole time, really.
All right, for those of you who are yelling at your podcast players or using the Castback app to leave feedback right now about how far this show has gone off the rails, I own that. I accept the responsibility for that. It's entirely my fault. I apologize for it. Now we will move on. I think it's Eric's turn to bring it out.
Well, wait, one more thing, though. Send me the template for that, would you? Okay, so I'm going to bring... since I don't... I'm not going here... for vacation, I figured I'd bring the app that's called Texas. Well, I don't even know what it's called. Hold on a second. It's called Texas State Parks Official Guide in case somebody's going there for their vacation. This way they can plan it out ahead of time and learn about everything possible about all the state parks in Texas.
Hey, Eric, yeah. The stars at night are big and bright.
Make it, I don't know, something. Deep in the heart of Texas. Heart of
Texas.
I only know that from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Me too.
There's no basement in the Alamo.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Did you guys watch the new one yet?
No.
On Netflix?
No. Scared to. Scared
it's great. I mean, it's good. I mean, for kids, whatever. It's good for me. I liked it. Anyway, Texas State Parks has an official guide app. And I'd imagine, I don't know, I haven't really looked, but I'm guessing most states would probably be doing this soon if they haven't yet. Texas is pretty progressive. You know, they've got Austin, and they've got a lot of tech, so they probably are leaders in this. You know, I can't see Illinois doing it because we don't do anything except for walk around moping why we don't have any money. But
well, Texas has money. That is one thing. Texas does have money. And because of Texas's girth, yeah, they have a good amount of state parks.
Yeah. South Llano River looks like fun, just looking at the screenshots of this.
Well, they're not going to take bad pictures of the place. I mean, really.
Yeah, well, just the name, though. Now, there's certain names that you're not going to want to go, like Government Canyon and Goose Island. Goose Island, to me, is like, you better not slip and fall while you're there. You know what I mean? You ever been around geese? They're nasty. They're gross. Okay. That was my app.
You just randomly pulled the Texas state parks? I mean, not going to Texas, not from Texas. Just thought that would be interesting?
Yeah. For someone, I'll probably go to Texas at some point and maybe use this app. Have you ever listened to the show where Dor brings like some random art museum in Sweden app? Okay, this is better than that, I think.
I didn't say. I'm just confused, that's all.
I think he's just trying to get on your good side, Mark.
I have been to many of these places.
Have you been to Goose Island?
I have
barefoot?
I will say this. If you're planning a summer vacation, don't go to any state park in Texas. Just don't go to the state of Texas in the summer. Just don't.
Yeah, I had a buddy who did hot tar roofing in Texas during the summertime. Mm. He literally lost like 120 pounds first year.
That's not all bad.
Having grown up there, I can tell you that in a middle of July or early August, the streets get so hot that the tar remelts, and you're literally sticking to it as you're walking or driving.
I like heat. You know, the last time I went to Daytona, it was in August, and I loved every minute of it. That's
yeah. Well, that's the other thing. You do know at Disney, okay? At Disney World, you pay money. You have a day of NASCAR training, and you get to drive a NASCAR around the track.
No.
You do know that?
No, yes, I didn't
you
know
do.
That.
Oh, yes, you do. Well, guess what? That's why Disney has everything.
Hmm.
Disney's racetrack experience is better than going to a racetrack. I'm just saying.
All right, Eric. Dor, bring your non-game app for us.
Okay, my non-game app. This is not an app for Dor, but this is an app I can see, to be honest, being at least a little bit popular with at least like college campuses, maybe, especially if you're anywhere around the Baltimore area or urban area. Companion Safety App. I don't want to be a stranger danger kind of guy, but in reality, sometimes random bad things do happen to people when they're by themselves and out and about at night. What this app will let people do is reach out to family or friends, or if you're in college, with the campus police. And if you have to walk a distance to your car or to your door or to a different place at night, you can load this app and they will basically help keep you, I don't want to say keep you safe. They will keep a track of you. And in case of a emergency, in one click, you can sound the alarm, call for help.
Oh, that's nice. I think that's a great app. You know, if I was a fraidy cat, I'd use it all the time.
Well, yeah, again, it isn't a door app. I'm never going to load it. But if I was a young person in college in a town I wasn't deeply familiar with, I would probably find a lot of comfort in an app like this.
Yeah.
The reviews indicate that it doesn't always work.
It only has to work when it, I mean, they wouldn't be leaving the reviews if it didn't work that badly. You know what I'm saying?
That reminds me of an XKCD cartoon where he's got people reviewing a tornado warning app. And 5 stars, beautiful app. 5 stars, excellent design. Didn't drain my battery. 400 of those. 1 review says 1 star, didn't warn of tornado. And that's kind of how I feel this. Just looking at the reviews, the things that it's supposed to do, like, I don't know, send messages, it doesn't seem to do. Just saying.
I got to give them kudos, though. On these the negative reviews, they are coming right back and talking to the people and at least trying to make it right. And looks like they're trying to help.
Yeah, it is a newer app. I will say that. It's only been out for, I get the impression, maybe a couple months. So hopefully it's just a growing pains thing and they will get better. But this is the kind of app I want to get better. And again, not for me, just because it's a good app to have, or, you know, good idea of an app to have.
Right.
All right. Eric, you got another one?
I do. We'll go with this one. This was suggested by one of the listeners. I think it was either via email or Google Plus posting. And this one is called, I don't know why my browser keeps, it's called Basketfall. Instead of Basketball, Basketfall. Let me find my, I'm having browser issues today.
Are you on Windows?
Maybe.
Oh, maybe that's why.
So Basketfall is basically, it's kind of like a basketball game. You got a basketball hoop, and then it's sort of a cut the rope kind of thing too, because there's a ball, a basketball swinging by a rope, and you just got to tap at the right time to get it to drop into the hoop down below. You can bounce it off the sides of the screen. I like the way it uses the screen and kind of really zooms in, and when it bounces off the sides and ricochets and things. It's a simple game, but fun.
Okay. I didn't have a chance to look at it yet. Just going by what you said, it almost sounded almost like a reverse Frozen Bubble. Because Frozen Bubble, from the bottom up, you shoot bounce off walls to hit balloons. This is top down, drop it. Man, this definitely does not look super easy. Where you gotta, it is a definite timing game with a lot of ricochet action going on. Man,
yeah, with physics, yeah. I always love a good physics engine.
The first level, and it's funny because it makes you feel like a superstar right off the bat, because the very first one, I think you can tap it anywhere and it ricochets just perfectly to get it in there, just to bump up your level of confidence, and then you move forward, and it does get much harder.
Mm. Dude, this does not look easy, yeah. Looks good, though. Completely, no, there is in-app purchases. Free to download, free to install. Top developer, Kumobus? Kumobusi. I don't even know how to pronounce that.
Kumobius?
Ba-ding. There you go. You're going to pay raise from somebody.
Yay! This one gets a lot better reviews than the last one.
I have one more email / app from Charles Surrett, who talks to us about the Automate app. He says, haven't done much with it, but I was able to remap my headset button to next track instead of play pause. There are a lot of variations on the theme there of things that let you set tasks for your phone, but this one is called the Automate app by Llama Labs.
I believe that was an old.
We had to have brought this one before.
Well, just the word Llama Labs rings a ridiculously strong bell in my head.
Yeah. I can't find my my spreadsheet, but Automate. I know I've heard of it, and I've heard of
it. It was an Automate It that I heard from you guys way back when. But this doesn't look, what's interesting is it's sort of like the object-oriented programming that you have kids do in second grade. There are different puzzle pieces, and you connect them together to do your coding. So, you know, when you're at this location, drag the block in that says enable Wi-Fi, and then drag the box in that says kill data. And so it's a visual way to create tasks, much more user-friendly than the geeky syntax of some of the others I've used.
Yeah, we have not brought this.
Nope. I do know we did bring something Llama-related, and I don't know why, for some reason, Llama really stuck in my head.
Goat stimulators, probably.
No, Llama location profiles might have been like a predecessor to this, maybe based upon the same code base. That was a event-driven thing by GPS, so it definitely was not as deep as this. This definitely looks more impressive than that app.
Yeah, this looks like a visual way to do Tasker, isn't it?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, and I will say, I do like the interface. The easier, quicker it is for me to comprehend these kinds of things, the better, because to me that was what Tasker, to me, extremely lacked at, was to digest the interface to become productive with it was a hurdle. Definitely a hurdle to get over. And this looks, if you don't get this one, you might be suffering from a affliction or condition.
Oh, it would still confuse me, dude. I when it comes to programming, it could spell itself out for me. If it has to do with coding in any way, I'm just like, ugh. So this, but the things you can do with it, I mean, if you've got like a device that you feel is getting slow, you can use Automate to just, you know, clear your cache every day at a certain time, or do a shutdown or a reboot in the middle of the night when you're not using it automatically, so you don't have to worry about it. Things like that. I imagine you could probably use it to turn on Bluetooth when you get in your car, maybe, stuff like that. Or when you leave,
the things I've done with those is, you know, send my text message a wife. Man, my brain is not working tonight. Send my wife a text message when I'm leaving work. So when I leave that geofence, she knows that, you know, between the hours of, you know, say 3:30 and 5:30, she knows I'm coming home. I stopped doing that when I got my girlfriend, and, you know, every time I went to visit her, my wife found out about it. But, you know, things like that are the reason that you would use that app.
Did she always think it was you just texting her, or did she catch on that, hey, you might be doing something automatically here?
Oh, no, she knew that it was, well, actually, that's a good question. I mean, we talked about the fact that it was automated, but she may have thought I was sending the exact same text every day at the same time. I've never asked her.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's something I wouldn't have told her about earlier, I think, myself.
Well, every time I pull up to my wife's place of work to pick her up after work, we carpool, I open up Voxer, and this is really the most anal, stupid thing anyone can do with Voxer. I open up Voxer, I open up her chat, I click in the text beneath it, my keyboard pops up, I hold down my spacebar on my keyboard, and then I voice dictate a message. Every single day, it's the exact same message, and that's just how I talk. I'm a creature of habit, and when I pull up, I, in my head, think the exact same thing every day. Hello, hun, comma, I'm outside whenever you're ready. Bang. And that's what it says every single day. Because some days we don't chit-chat a lot because all we got to do is turn to each other and talk. So I see sometimes two or three days in a row, it is the exact same message every day.
Hmm. Yeah, this is cool. I do usually try to call home before I leave, you know, see if you guys need anything. Except for the days that they do when I don't. You know what I mean?
Right. Of course. Yeah. Okay, I just got to say real quick, this is a very cool-looking app. And this is a really cool idea, but I'm thinking this is a door thing. I don't find anything that this app could do that tells me I need it. I'm not overly stressed with when I get home pulling down my notification tray and turning on my Wi-Fi. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm not overstressed by that. I'm not overstressed when I leave my job and I'm going to send my wife a text. I can just send her a text. Just like in home automation, Internet of Things, I'm perfectly fine with walking across my room and flicking a switch. I can't think of a single use case with home automation that I think I want to do. And just like automation on my Android device, the only thing I do automatically is when I add a thing to my pocket with a certain tag, it gets appended to a spreadsheet.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I can think of I do that is an automatic thing.
You've got a little phone utopia going. So other people have real problems with their devices, and you know, say you know they're not getting signal. This would, you know, you could set it up to check for you know, to reset your cell towers. You know, some people have to do that often to get things working correctly. You've got your stuff dialed in pretty good. This is to fix a problem. If you've got a problem, this can help you. This is a workaround. It could be a workaround so that you don't have to manually do this. If your phone's annoying you because you have to do this stupid thing that you shouldn't have to do all the time, but you have to do it, you could use this to so you don't personally have to do it anymore.
I guess. Oh no.
I have no comment on this. You were just talking about not talking to your wife. Today, as we were driving around looking at houses, my wife was contradicting the GPS, saying, "No, you really should turn left," or when it would say "turn right," "turn right, really?" And I call my phone Andrea. She's a personal friend. And at some point, just jokingly, I said, "I'm tired of you countermanding Andrea. You've been undermining her all day long. If you two can't find a way to work it out, this relationship just isn't going to work." And my daughters were in the car, and she was like, "Really? Andrea is important to you?" I said, "Well, most days she talks to me more than your mommy does."
Wow.
Mark. That's pretty funny. I'm just happy I'm not the only one.
Now that you mention it, I guess there is kind of something to that. When we're working these kind of hours and things, there are days. But I don't use GPS at all to get to anywhere, so she doesn't talk to me much.
When you live in a metro area like I do, you need it, even if you know exactly where you're going, for the accident and traffic updates. I run the GPS constantly, even if it's just running down the store to the street for some milk, because anything could happen between here and there, and the GPS will know it before I do.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely could see that, but that is not applicable to this area whatsoever.
Yeah, it happened today. It only happens every week or two to me. I'm driving home and it pops up and prompts me and says, "There is a accident on 95 North. There is a faster route if you get off on exit 43. Do you accept?" Ding, hell yes. Yeah,
I should. That's a dumb question. Just do it.
I got annoyed by that the other day. I was coming back from a place called Lyle, and Lyle, Illinois, shout out. And I didn't want to take the interstate. I just wanted to take some, you know, a good highway that I knew went directly to my home because that road number is in my town. But just, this is way out. I mean, it's one of those roads that would actually, you could go from one coast to the other, and it happens to go through my town. But I didn't want to get on an interstate. I just want to take these back roads and kind of look at stuff. You know, sometimes on the interstates, you don't see anything, but four lanes and that's it. But it just kept telling me, go this way. And I'm like, no. I got tired of it. It listened after a while. Finally figured it out, I guess. Or it ran out of speeding me up by 16 minutes to do anything different. It was well-intentioned. It was going to cost me more for tolls, and it wasn't really saving me that much time.
So one last thing, and then we'll end this train wreck. But when you're going from Atlanta back to Texas, where I'm from, there's really only two instructions. It's get on Highway 20 and turn right. And so when you're going around, you go around the loop in Birmingham, and the GPS says the most soul-sucking thing to you: continue forward for 497 miles. And you just want to pluck an eyeball out.
That's nice, though, because then you don't have to hear it for that long.
Well, no, because then every whatever, you're going to look at it and thinking, is it still running? Is it still working? Is this thing on? Hello, is this thing
every
on?
Time you stop for gas or to pull over for a Big Mac, she yells at you, you know, in 300 yeah. feet, turn left. No, I need to pee. I don't need to turn left.
Make a U-turn.
Yeah. All right, guys, I'm calling it. We're well over an hour of just rambling randomness. So let's end with our closing thoughts. Eric, what words of wisdom from the CEO?
I'm going to say, send me the template. I need to get my act together before I take a vacation.
I don't know that I really have a template, but please. I can build something for you.
Awesome. And I will share it with the family, and we will work on this together because we all need to learn spreadsheets.
Dor, what about yourself?
Hey, I'm going to squeeze one more in just because
that's fine. Oh, I was going to too, but Dor.
Look, stop. CoPlayer, CoPlayer.com. It's not an app. It's an emulator you can run on Windows or Mac where you can emulate Android and play games on it. So if you want to play those higher-end games that we talk about every now and then and your Android device will not support it, put this thing on your laptop or your desktop. It will map the keys so you can do WASD or gamepad support and play yourself some of them.
Website's not working for me. Are you sure that's the right URL?
KOPlayer.com. That's where I'm at right now.
All right, Dor. One quick one real quick. I'm sorry.
And it isn't loading anymore.
And this so is not,
I guess Podnos just took it down.
This is not an app either. But Twitch now works on BlueStacks for streaming Android games to for everybody to watch.
Well, that's when BlueStacks decides to work. And yes, that's a low blow from yours truly, Dor.
Okay. I just wanted to throw that out there if you've been wanting to broadcast your awesome Android gaming.
Yeah, CoPlayer is down.
We took it down? Oh, man.
Yeah. They're just me, yeah. Says. It's not just you.
No.
So that just proves how popular this is going to be, I'm guessing.
I bet Twitch is still up for now, though. But you better hurry up and get over there.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, everyone, for downloading. Thank you, everyone, for supporting this show, this network.
All right. And that's it. Thanks for hanging out with us, folks. We'll see you next week, because that's it for this episode of the Android App Addicts.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.